Today, Chuck Swindoll on Daniel's forecast of the future.
The stone is clearly set forth in Scripture as the person of Jesus Christ. And when he comes and cuts that statue down at its feet, he establishes a kingdom of peace and righteousness that this world has never known. And all the kingdoms of the earth will bow at his feet and recognize that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Few things are more intimidating than standing in the presence of power and influence, especially when called upon to deliver bad news. And that was Daniel's assignment when the king petitioned him to interpret a nightmare. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message introduced earlier this week based on this encounter. In the event you missed any portion, we'll begin with helpful review. When Daniel was placed in this precarious situation with King Nebuchadnezzar, he courageously stepped forward and delivered the ugly truth that the king's beloved country would face an unfortunate future. We begin in Daniel chapter 2.
Nebuchadnezzar, you saw a single statue. And then he goes on to describe how it was made. Verse 32. He starts at the head and he works down to the toes. The head of the statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You, king, continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. In other words, it appeared in space. It appeared from nowhere. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, that's the legs, the clay, the feet, the bronze, the thighs, the belly, the silver, the chest, the arms, the gold, the head, were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. Note that. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What is the head of gold? It is the kingdom of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of this great land, you are represented as the head of gold in this statue. Verse 39, and after you, those are important words. We have a succession of kingdoms from one to another, working our way through four of them. First, there is Babylon. And after you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you. That's the silver. Just as silver is inferior to gold, the next kingdom is inferior to Babylon. Chapter 8, it is clearly set forth that this second kingdom would be the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Now the verse goes on to say, verse 39, then another third kingdom of bronze. Again, chapter 8 helps us in understanding that this was Alexander the Great and the Grecians. So we have first the Babylonians in the head, and then we have the Medo-Persian Empire in the silver. But when you get to the belly and the thighs, you have Alexander the Great and the Grecians, the Greece kingdom that came in and overthrew the Medo-Persians. And then, as you would expect, verse 40 says, then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron. When you get to the legs and the feet, you have a kingdom as strong as iron, and that would be the Western world empires. Now you'll notice that fourth empire as strong as iron was strong inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these others in pieces. Now, the focus of prophetic attention is on the clay. Now, look at this carefully. Look at your Bibles. Verse 41. And in that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it'll be a divided kingdom. It will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and a part of it will be brittle. Now the writer of prophecy says, as this Roman kingdom in the Western world empires begins to grow, it will begin to deteriorate. There will be bits of iron, but there will also be pieces of pottery. And they will never mix. There will be unmixable principles at work. Now keep that in your mind as you read the next verse, 43. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men. You've got the iron, the fist of Rome, the boot of strength, but you've got the voice of man. That's the clay. You've got man's input, his sinful nature, his wrong counsel, his unwise decisions, his selfishness. You've got the potter's clay, the seed of men, and they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. What's the clay of this passage? Wow, it's risky to tell you, isn't it? It's the voice of the people. It's the people who, out of selfishness and the drive of depravity, hey, let's get our puppet up there. And as this clay mixes with the iron can handle it. And before long, we have a very weak form of government, which, as a matter of fact, we are wrestling with these days. Now, I know we're on the eve of an exciting and a super important time. You ought to vote, okay? It's part of your God-given responsibility to put those individuals in the places of authority that will represent God's righteous hand. I say that without reservation. That is the form of government that we have embraced as a nation, but it is not the best, but it is ours. So we do our best to purify the clay, don't we? Now, in God's statue, we've come to the feet. And here's where the future passage even directs itself beyond our day. Look at verse 44. Careful now. And in the days of those kings. What kings? Well, time doesn't allow us to get into it because it's set forth in the latter part of this book. And we'll see it as we get into Daniel. But there will emerge an actual federated state of Europe. 10 actual powers referred to as the kings. And that's happening right now regarding what is emerging in Europe. The whole federated states becoming a monopoly. A sense of trade, and it's all forming in front of our own eyes. Churchill predicted it. In fact, was part and parcel of the beginning of it. As well as de Gaulle, as ornery as he was. And those kings in those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. It will itself endure forever. That's the mountain. Now don't stop reading. One more verse. Inasmuch, Nebuchadnezzar, as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. so that the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. The stone is clearly set forth in Scripture as the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7. Isaiah 2, verse 2. And there are others. He's the stone that is cut out without hands. He's the stone that is made the cornerstone of God's great plan. And when he comes and cuts that statue down at its feet, he establishes a kingdom of peace and righteousness that this world has never known. And all the kingdoms of the earth will bow at his feet and recognize that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, about this time, verse 46, Nebuchadnezzar could handle it no longer. I can't imagine what he must have thought. It was big enough that Daniel knew what he had dreamed, and all of a sudden, he unveils the whole story. And Nebuchadnezzar, it says in this verse, fell on his face and did homage to Daniel. And he gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. So he called his subjects and said, "Bring to this man the best gifts of Babylon." And they did. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." Isn't that significant that when you accurately represent Jesus Christ, people will recognize his authority? It's a beautiful thing. Daniel has no badge that talks of his humility or his ability to reveal mysteries. He just did his job. He just exercised his gift. And in the exercising of it, this great but unbelieving king says, "There's no God like your God." When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And here's dear old Daniel standing, dear young Daniel, he's not old, standing there looking at the king and is as thrilled as the king is with what God has given. And by the way, that happens. When God uses your life, you're just as excited as what happens is exciting, you know? And Daniel's thrilled to death that God has used him to reveal this secret. And it says the king promoted Daniel, verse 48, and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Wow, what a promotion. He stood at a right angle from the king of the world, and he was the prime minister of Babylon. This young whippersnapper, Daniel, probably wasn't even 20. Forgive me if you're under 20, calling you a whippersnapper. But Daniel, hey, he had no experience. And here he came and tried on the robes of royalty, and he moved into the new chamber, and there he was. But if you know Daniel, like God knows Daniel, he didn't take the credit. He's the greatest fella. Look at verse 49. Daniel made request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. Who's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, they're his prayer partners. Chapter 2, verse 17, they're just given other names, but they're the guys that prayed with him, and God gave him the dream after they prayed. And Daniel said, "Hold it, boss. Wait. Before I take that chamber of authority, I want you to bring along with me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are equally deserving of this place of authority." Hey, there's a good practical lesson in that. No person is an island. Have you been recently promoted? Or is it in the offing? Have you been big enough to say to that individual who helped make it possible, "Thank you. Thank you for your assistance in allowing me to be a part of this exciting experience"? And have you in some way expressed that assistance or that appreciation by in some way lifting them and giving them the credit? Ah, but there's something a lot deeper than that. We'll get into it further when we get into Daniel. Let me just close it with a couple of thoughts. First of all is this. We are rapidly approaching the end of time as we know it today. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm not given to sensationalism. I'm not setting dates. I'm just saying that if Jesus Christ's return happens tonight, it will be right on target. There's nothing yet left to be done. There's enough clay to go around the world three times, isn't there? Doesn't it break your heart when you see the iron potential, but the presence of clay? The magnificent structures and abilities that men can create and then turn right around and destroy because of clay. Selfishness and pride, deceit and unfaithfulness. We're at the end time. We don't have a lot of time left. Second thing I would say is all investments in earthly kingdoms are temporary at best. You've got your hope and your securities. Don't hold your breath, baby. It's temporary. You know, there are only two things that are eternal on earth. You know what they are? God's word and people. That ought to help you know how to invest your time. That ought to encourage you in your discipleship, your ministry with people. There will come a time when this statue will fall to the ground, and our great God and Savior will establish a kingdom on this earth that we've pictured for you in Scripture, a 1,000-year reign, where he becomes the one and only potentate, the great and only king. Do you know him? Have you met the stone that was not cut with hands? Ever been a time in your life when you have said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I'm lost without you. I'm clay. I am unrighteous. I'm unfinished. I'm incomplete. I'm at best only bronze, silver, gold, and iron, but mainly clay. And by faith, I turn my life over to you, Jesus Christ. And I want to be at the place of security, and that's with you and in you. Now, I don't know what all of this says to you, but it says something to me that's very, very comforting. It's great to be on the right side. It is great to know you are in the stone. You're part of the answer. You'll last forever. Daniel 4:35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing. God does according to his will in the inhabitants of the earth, the host of heaven, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? You've been anxious these days, given to worry, panic? Take in a good dose of Daniel and realize that there's nothing out of his hand. He knows what he's doing. That includes tonight your deepest frustration, your fear of tomorrow, the greatest anxiety on your heart. He's already got it worked out. He's just waiting until you come around and rest in him, and then he'll lay it on you. Let's bow together this evening. What a great evening it's been. You've listened so carefully. And an exciting time of recognizing these graduates from our Bible doctrine class. We've got some new parents here this evening. We're delighted to have you visit with us. I offer to you tonight the only answer, the only solution to the problems that are deep-seated within you, and that's Christ, who said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Trust Christ tonight. Don't leave without him. Trust him right now. Just in a simple prayer, Father, tonight, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. I accept that death on my behalf. Thank you for coming into my life. Lord, this evening, on the heels of a very full and insightful time around the Word of God, we pause to thank you for including us in your sovereign plan. We have no reason for pride. We could have been born in the bush, the countries of darkness that have not heard of the love of Christ. Thank you for your enlightening us, and it is with a deep sense of humility we acknowledge that we are in your family. We pray again that you would increasingly bless the lives of these who have made a very definite step of commitment in this class, and ask you to use them for your glory, as well as those tonight who have come to know your Son for the first time. We ask you personally to minister through us this week, making us keenly aware of opportunities to make Christ known during these days of increasing clay mixed with iron. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.
As we face God's plan for the future, as portrayed in Daniel chapter 2, it becomes obvious that we need to settle up our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've made a decision to trust Him today, or if you'd like to learn more, we urge you to visit our website, and in particular to look at the section called How to Know God. That's at insightworld.org. Well, there's much more to learn from this fascinating Old Testament book, and we invite you to listen every day to Insight for Living as we venture into the book of Daniel together. You can also purchase the CDs, download the audio files, and access the many other Bible study resources by going online to insightworld.org or call 1-800-772-8888. I'll be giving this contact information again in just a moment, so be prepared to jot it down. First, however, Chuck is in the studio today with a special word for you. As you likely know, Chuck Swindoll's teaching is made possible by grateful listeners just like you who voluntarily and generously give. And we're pleased to offer a special thank you gift today, something that's become an annual tradition, the 2013 Insight for Living Wall Calendar. I'll give our contact information in just a moment, but first, this important word from Chuck.
At some point in our lives, God brings us to a crossroad of decision, an intersection. And that always requires a decision, like, do we turn left or right? Or do we stay the course and push right on ahead? Maybe you're at one of those intersections in life. Perhaps you're there today. That's where we've come here at Insight for Living. Without trying to sound like I'm filled with panic, because I'm not, I must tell you this. Insight for Living stands at a decisive crossroad financially. Donations have fallen so low that in July we had to cut our budget and our staff 10%. This included a few releases on some radio stations. We still need over and above regular donations by the end of October in order to meet the ministry's essential expenses for media costs on multiple radio stations. And trust me, things have gotten lean around this place. And so how can we possibly raise those funds by that time? I sometimes refer to it as an elephant that has plunked itself down, blocking the intersection with no alternative. Even so, I believe we can overcome this obstacle. The question is, how? Well, it's the same way you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. If each one of you within the sound of my voice were to give $25, either as a first donation or in addition to your regular donation for the month, would you believe we could dismantle the beast and push right on through? Now, for some, $25 is a huge sacrifice. I realize that.
because we know that for others, an amount like $10,000 or $12,000 would not be out of the question for you. So whatever it may be, whatever the amount, I need you to stand with us. Please, take your bite out of that elephant. Give the most generous gift you can make in order to help us make this impact today. Our phone number is 1-800-772-8888. If you go online, it's insight.org.
All right, thank you, Chuck. And listen, when you give today, we'll say thank you by providing the 2013 Wall Calendar from Insight for Living. Call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. The theme of the new Wall Calendar, Traveling the Road of Faith. Now, if you want to amplify your support of Insight for Living, we'd encourage you to become one of our monthly companions. Your monthly automated donation occurs transparently, but your consistent giving has an eternal impact. To become a monthly companion, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll chose a creative title for tomorrow's program, A Ragtime Band and a Fiery Furnace. Join us Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Blueprint of Tomorrow, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.